We're sailing away from an island that we called 2020. I imagine you're happy about that as we lift our anchor and push off from this island. But maybe you're sad. Maybe you had a great 2020. Either way, our past is the past. And our now is our here. And our future is yet to come. Which sounds just about as deep as this milky ocean on which we are sailing. Hello and welcome to The Empty Bowl, a meditative podcast about cereal. My name is Justin McElroy, and I am a cereal enthusiast.
My name is Dan Goubert, and I am a cereal ferryman, helping usher across the cereals of old into this new strange, great beyond called 2021.
It's uncharted milk, uncharted waters, but we're out here going for it. And, you know, I, for one, am thrilled. I'm thrilled to be here with you. I'm thrilled to be talking about cereal. It's all good stuff. And we've got an interesting episode for everybody. We're breaking with the usual format. It's still going to be very relaxed and discussion of cereal. But we're going to talk about the best of the year. We're going to hand out some virtual awards and maybe a couple of cereals that didn't quite measure up, but are still quite good because they are cereal.
What should we call our sort of awards? What are we giving to these cereals?
I mean, the Crunchies is right there.
Ooh, but I like that. Well, then we can call the bad ones the Soggies.
That's true.
All right, I like that. I'm down for that.
All right, good. So Dan, I'm gonna pass the wheel of this ship over to you, and steer us into calmer waters.
Okay, so I have arranged my favorite five cereals of the year, as well as my least favorite three. So I can count those down, and if at any point you have any conflicting opinions, perhaps some great ones that you thought were missing, feel free to correct me there. But coming in at a strong number five on my top five cereals of 2020 list is the very recent collaboration between Kellogg's and Little Debbie with Oatmeal Cream Pie cereal. So this was probably the most hyped cereal of the year, I would say, just because the name recognition attached to it and the sort of universal belovedness of Oatmeal Cream Pies as a snack cake really, obviously, you're going to get a lot of people to try this just from that alone.
Sure.
We heard about it a few months back, and there were also rumors of a Cosmic Brownie cereal. Those rumors kind of died. And just this December, Oatmeal Cream Pie cereal hit the world. And I think it fell a little bit off the mark when it comes to accurately tasting like a Little Debbie oatmeal cream pie, but it still was extremely solid. It was good. I couldn't really find a lot bad about it besides it not living up to sort of that golden brown standard, which is really, really high, to be honest, in the first place. But
yeah, I found this, I looked forward to this cereal, not since, I think, probably not since the Twinkie cereal was there one that I looked forward to as much as I looked forward to this one. I was constantly checking to see if it was available, desperate to get my hands on it. And you know, a very solid cereal that I think was just not quite up to the original snack cake, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little more raisin flavor, a few marshmallows. I'd love to see that. But I think overall, it's very respectable.
Yeah, they did a lot of good with the molasses in this one. I think that's what really gives it the edge over just another cinnamon cereal that you might see day to day. So I really think it was an admirable effort. As you sort of mentioned, there's just something about snack cakes in cereal form that draw out the anticipation. And I like to hope that since Post teams up with Hostess and Twinkies and Kellogg's now has some sort of deal with Little Debbie, perhaps we can get a modern cereal console wars of some sort of who can do the the snack cake cereal game better, because I think in the years to come there's still a lot of potential in the sort of discography, for lack of a better word, of Little Debbie and Hostess when it comes to all their many hits. So I'm excited to see what comes from that.
Yeah, the rumors are still there about, you know, Cosmic Brownie was originally rumored when this came down. So
there was someone who first posted images of the oatmeal cream pie cereal. They had a photo and video of the whole box, but when it came to Cosmic Brownie cereal, they didn't really have a box. They only had the cereal, which looked a lot like Cocoa Puffs Brownie Crunch, which also re-released this year. So it'd be really weird for them to do a sort of half hoax there. So I really hope that that one actually makes it to shelves, because the Brownie Crunch from Cocoa Puffs was a little disappointing.
What's number four?
So this one's not a traditional cereal, but I think still earns a place, just for blowing expectations out of the water, as sort of the opposite of what oatmeal cream pie cereal did. And that was the Cap'n Crunch and Smart Food Popcorn mix. This was something that when I first heard about it, it's basically literally just crunch berries and berry-flavored popcorn in the same bag. It sounded extremely simple, extremely weird, extremely abrasive to the insides of your mouth. So I didn't really think much of it, but I brought some on a beach day out to the beach, and it was kind of the perfect summer snack. A really, really simple and satisfying blend of just that mixed berry weirdness that you get from crunch berries and a little bit of salt to, you know, really just create this amazing combo. It's hard to describe in any way that, you know, can be put to a lot of adjectival good, like an oatmeal cream pie cereal. It's just something you need to experience for yourself, because this was something that even if somebody told me I was going to love it, I wouldn't have known until I actually did.
This is the snack that you get at the gas station as a joke, and then as you're eating it, you're like, wait a minute, yes, actually, yeah, I'll take a whole lot of this, actually. That would be great. Thank you.
You got this one on eBay, didn't you?
I did. I didn't have to eBay this particular product, and I still have some of it. I will be honest and admit some of it is still in my cupboard. I haven't dipped back in, but it is good. It is good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Would love to see like a popcorn ball or something like that made out of this. Yeah. I think that would be very good. What's coming in at number three, Dan?
All right, so number three, I have to give to Green Onion Chex, even though...
Wow. Folks, this is, I'm sorry, this is supposed to be a relaxing show, but this is earth-shattering. This is a stunt cereal that has climbed the ranks into the upper echelon of 2020 cereals. I mean, no one saw this coming.
Okay, like, it kind of sounds like a gag or novelty cereal, and if, like, Kellogg's of South Korea made this one, and if they had just come out and said, like, some random vegetable or savory thing that they were going to turn into a cereal flavor, it'd be like, whatever, it's probably a gimmick. But until you learn about the fact that Green Onion Chex is a cereal 16 years in the making that started because Kellogg's of South Korea, their marketing team, didn't think that people would vote for a Green Onion Chex cereal over a Chocolatey Chex cereal in a mock election. And the meme war that kind of went on, the decade and a half of sort of Green Onion loyalists who petitioned the company to actually make these, and they actually finally gave in and did it. And this whole, the very existence of Green Onion Chex, the news of which has spread the world all over now. People adore the idea of something so ridiculous. So while it didn't taste very good, and I couldn't really eat a lot of it, just because it made me feel like some sort of swamp creature eating it, I think it is an edible legacy to the power that passion for cereal can actually have. This is like the main case study for why they need to like put the oat flour back in monster cereals or whatever, just because if it's something that's fermented so long and the desire has been burning for so long, it's going to be a big headline when it actually gets done. And I think Green Onion Chex, regardless of how good it tastes, deserves a place in cereal history forever for that.
Yeah, an amazing story. And I gotta say, I dug it too. Kind of dug it. It's kind of good. It's weird.
That's kind of where I'm at.
Sorry.
How much of the box did you get through?
Oh, Dan, I don't know. You know, fractions were never my strong suit. Not a lot, but some. I didn't have the guts to eat it with milk, but I dug it as like a snack, just like snacky. I dug it. What stunt cereal do you have at number two, Dan?
So this one's kind of the opposite of a stunt cereal because it's probably one of the least known cereals of the year, and that is H-E-B's Morning Sunshine Cereal.
Yeah, bud. Yeah.
Yeah, I knew you'd have some strong agreement on this one.
Oh, folks, so, you can get it. It's good.
Yeah, H-E-B is sort of a grocery chain that's exclusive to Texas, if I believe. I believe that's what it is. And it was really, really weird for a store brand, but they put out not one or two store brand exclusive flavors, but 9 different cereal-ology brand cereals. And these aren't like the newest or whatever. I think they've been out under the radar for a little bit. But a listener from Texas managed to send us all 9 of them to each of us, yeah. I believe. And it was this crazy gauntlet of creative ingredients. It's not even just like a cheaply made store brand cereal. These are original formulations that feel like they came out of some sort of 5-star cereal kitchen on the waterfront for waterfront breakfast dining. There was a cinnamon mocha one that was extremely spicy. There was a matcha strawberry one that was very interesting. And falling between the cracks of those really major ideas were these other very more basic varieties with more traditional ingredients. And I think Morning Sunshine got it completely right in terms of well-rounded goodness that also feels unique. So this was a very, very fruity cereal. It contained orange, peach, strawberry, coconut, and then mixed it all up with these really, really amazing yogurt flakes that gave the whole thing this sort of ambrosia salad type fruity wholeness to it that it just hits right. It's nothing ostentatious about it. I just think when you think about cereal as an idea, if you're trying to get like a cereal to picture in a Wikipedia article or a dictionary entry or to preserve for future generations to see how cereal is supposed to be, I think Morning Sunshine is a stunning example.
It is almost like gulp. Like, it is that level of like mix-ins. Like, the mix-ins almost overpower the cereal itself. But it is so well. Delicious. Yeah, but no, it's worth it. You know me. I love my mix-ins. I love my mix-ins. Well, I mean, we've all been waiting for it, Dan. And I hope you're ready to drop it on us. What's the best cereal of the year?
What do you think it is? I feel like we have to be in agreement on this one.
Well, I kind of think of you as the editorial director of this program. I mean, for me, and this is probably not what anybody would guess, but for me, it's Tropical Fruit Loops. Which is kind of a weird one because we already had it last year from Mexico. That's just sort of where I'm at.
Did you think
can I also say something? I also think that I lose track a lot of what cereals came out. Curiously, you will never believe this, but curiously, it is very hard for me to keep track of what cereals were released this year and what cereals were released last year.
You mean you don't have a dedicated sort of partition of your hard drive of a brain that's all dedicated to these cereal data points like me?
No, I mean, I have a good, I mean, look, I don't want to like, you know, get too down on myself. I have a good head for cereal related facts. I think compared to your average Joe.
Cereal podcaster.
Yeah, right. I'm in the top quarter of all cereal podcasters, but I know you liked Honey Made Cinnamon Graham cereal.
That's it. That's the one.
Is that the one? Yeah. Okay.
Honey Made Cinnamon Graham cereal. It was just...
Still can't get it anywhere.
Right.
Not even on the bay.
I don't know what's up with the distribution of this one. It really was a weird case because...
And I haven't gotten any of the post office box, P.O. box either. So it's making me feel like maybe it's not in wide distribution because... Like, you would think I would, you know, somebody would have snagged one for your boy.
You know, my only theory on why that's so is because the folks at Cinnamon Toast Crunch must have been so mad when this one dropped, just because Honey Made Cinnamon Graham cereal is 100% improvement on Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Of the very few people I know with the arcane knowledge and experience of this cereal firsthand, none of them could have possibly told me that they like Cinnamon Toast Crunch better, just because it's the exact same flavor palette with a richer, wheatier, grammier base, and it's just unforgettable in that way. And like I was saying, it's a strange case because it was supposed to come out years ago. There were grainy, pixelated pictures of the box so long ago, and it kind of just fell off the radar entirely until it sort of plummeted onto my doorstep and changed my life and really just made 2020 for cereals. There's really no competition. It wasn't even a close.
Wow. That is stunning. I really hope that I see it at some point or taste it. Sounds really good, Dan. I mean, don't know why they're hoarding it.
Upping your appetite is just going to make it taste better when it finally happens.
I mean, have you seen it in the store?
I haven't. I haven't been doing a lot of firsthand looking for cereals lately.
Sure. Yeah, who is?
But if I find it,
I'm going to mention a special bonus news before we move on to our worst cereals of the year. I got some Pokemon cereal.
Oh, see, I haven't found that anywhere.
It's on the bag. You just got to pay too much for it, and it'll arrive. I'm looking forward to you trying it.
Yeah?
Not since... I don't even want to say the name of it because I'm hoping it'll end up on your worst of list. Not since that has fruit been so artificially rendered in a consumable form.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you're in for a treat. Okay, I want to hear about our top bad, which I guess I would say they should come up with a better way of saying top bad other than that. The top bad cereals.
The final big bads.
The worst cereals of the year.
The three cereals you meet in sort of the dark, seedy underbelly of the breakfast world. And number three on that list is a very recent contender, and that is Elf on the Shelf Vanilla Candy Cane Cookie Crunch cereal. This stuff...
Now let me stop you before you... Are you factoring in disappointment with these, or is it just sort of straight up and down, do not want to eat?
You know, they're kind of in that order for me, but I think overall this is less evenly sorted than the top five, just because each of these three cereals are worst in some sense. I think this Elf on the Shelf I would give worst wasted potential, just because mint is something you hardly ever see in a cereal. The only time we've seen it before was with Thin Mint cereal, so we've never even gotten sort of a peppermint or obviously vanilla like here, doing anything without the chocolate influence. So there were really high hopes, for me at least, that this would bring about that very specific winter joy that comes with like sweet peppermint bark, etc. But it wasn't there. There was hardly any peppermint there. There was just this really weird chemical vanilla aftertaste. The box was huge, and it was all puffs. The peppermint marshmallows were just crumbs, tiny little specks, and they all sunk to the bottom anyway. So this was one of the worst.
Even an elf would look at those marshmallows and say, "It's not big enough. I don't know what to do with this."
See, that's the sad thing is that obviously there's a lot of seasonal cereals out there, and Christmas seems to not really be all that popular for new cereals in the holiday winter season. Obviously, you have Cap'n Crunch's Christmas Crunch and Sugar Cookie Toast Crunch, which basically dominate the entire market. Whereas this year, the only new holiday cereals we got were Elf on the Shelf Vanilla Candy Cane Cookie Crunch cereal and the Elf cereal for the Will Ferrell movie, and that one was only like maple themed, and it was all right. It was better than this Elf one, but
sure.
I'm really hoping that in 2021 we can get a more fitting sort of cereal adaptation for some of the many, you know, eggnoggy gingerbread flavors that we all love from the holidays so much.
Ugh, where's my eggnog?
Mm-hmm.
All right, what's I guess number two, regardless of whether or not you're going descending or ascending.
So this one I'm giving the title of Worst Tasting, and I believe it is the one that you were thinking of, and that is the Mandalorian cereal.
Oh, no, that's not... Okay, go ahead. I'll have to bring in my worst cereal. I drew down with the Mandalorian.
Interesting. I just thought this one... Like, I already hated the Star Wars cereal that came out when the newest trilogy first came out, because it was just really boring, like, faux Fruit Loops tricks, whatever, on these bad corn pieces with lame marshmallows, and somehow they made it even worse with this one. It's like someone took your typical fruity licensed cereal and left it to ferment, like, out in the desert somewhere. I don't know, it just didn't seem like they gave it much thought at all. And Star Wars has never really had great cereals. They had C-3POs, which were really cool. But ever since then, it's pretty much been the same thing over and over again. So
Yeah,
no good there.
Really, really embarrassed. I mean, they should be embarrassed of the cereal. It is, especially with like the love that the child has.
Mm-hmm.
It seems so strange to bungle it this terribly. At least put some fun games
right
on the back where Baby Yoda is trying to get to McDonald's or something. I don't know.
What was your fruity least fave?
Shopkins.
Okay.
Shopkins cereal, the only cereal we've ever had a live taste test of, just because
it is so
vulgar.
When did that one come out, man?
Yeah, that one was really rough. I still got a huge kick out of that. It was the, you know what? It almost tasted like more like Jolly Ranchers than Jolly Rancher cereal, but in the worst way possible. And the aroma of this cereal is stuck with me forever.
Really?
It is amazing.
Have you smelled it in anything else recently? Anything
no, like? It is a specific, unique flavor. If I smell it again, I'm going to assume I'm having a stroke.
Yeah, I kind of blotted that one out of my memory. It does look like it came out way back in January, so I've had a lot of time to try and forget it.
Now, Dan, is there a worse cereal than the Mandalorian cereal?
So this one does not taste worst. It's bearable, but this is what I'm calling the worst categorical failure of the year. And that I have to give to new and improved Cocoa Puffs.
Wow.
It's just so darkly ironic and funny to me that General Mills made this really big deal about improving a lot of their old cereals. They did four different ones, and Trix, they didn't literally change at all. They just pretended that they brought fruit shapes back again, even though they've been around. Golden Grahams was the most passable change that they made. They brought it back to like all original honey. And it was all right. I don't know if it was as good as the other one, but it was at least on par. Mm-hmm. Cookie
Trix
Crisp.
Trix is just a lie.
Yeah, Trix is a total lie.
Unbelievable. The Trix thing still boggles the mind.
Yeah. Cookie Crisp, they tried to add more chocolatey chip cookie flavor, and they did an all right job. I don't think it even elevates Cookie Crisp above still the Malto Meal cookie bites, chocolate chip cookie bites, which are kind of better in every way. But most egregious of all had to be Cocoa Puffs, because they said it had more chocolatey flavor in it, and if you try this stuff, it so clearly has less chocolate than it ever did before. And it's just
words mean things.
Yeah, I don't know what they did chemically to the genetic code of these Cocoa Puffs, or how, in any sort of taste test, they thought that this was the more chocolatey version. Maybe some specimen jars got switched in the sort of food science labs, but I've never seen something fail to deliver on a promise that, like, hilariously, cartoonishly bad before. And I still love you, Cocoa Puffs, but you deserve a little humiliation for that one.
Yeah. I did want to throw in a couple more honorable mentions of cereals that I enjoyed this year. I'm sure there's many others.
Sure.
I mentioned Tropical Fruit Loops. Also, I'd love to give a pat on the back to Dunkin', the two Dunkin' cereals. True. I know you're not a huge coffee person, but...
Where'd you get that? Who told you that?
No, I dug both of those, the caramel macchiato and the mocha latte. And I also, this is kind of a little bit more embarrassing, but not embarrassing, but childish. Trix with Trolls marshmallows was a really, really sugary cereal that just got you there when you needed to get there. And in my Dan Gobert Memorial Award for something that is not cereal on our cereal podcast is going to go to the Churro Pop-Tart, which was delicious. That was on my honorable mention list. Yeah, delicious. Yeah,
that's a really great one.
Any other 2020 stuff you wanna mention before we move on?
So I had the chocolate churros as my honorable mention, but I want to give a dishonorable mention to Funfetti cereal for being the latest in a long, long, long line of boring sugary vanilla cereals. Each time one comes out, I have the smallest hope that maybe it'll be better, but this one was just the blandest of the bland, and it. It's a sad harbinger of what's to come because there's a Dunkaroos cereal coming out soon that gives no indication of tasting any better than Funfetti did. So I don't want to write it off yet, but I really think we need to kill that trend in 2021.
Tim Horton's birthday cake flavor should feel glad that cereal
squeaked by on that one.
Yeah, they just snuck by without being destroyed. You know, we had asked you, the listeners, for the opportunity to let us judge if something you liked was cereal or not. I would just like to take a couple of those if we have time, Dan. Is that okay?
Yeah, but I'm going to say a vast variety of the responses that we got were things that I could not possibly believe the people suggesting them actually enjoyed personally.
Okay. So,
There's a variety in the ones we've selected, but...
All right. Here's the first one.
Hi, Dan and Justin. I have a controversial topic for you to debate. Is it cereal or not? Is raw pasta in milk cereal or not? I instantly thought it couldn't be cereal because pasta is often in cheese sauces, which is similar to milk. But then I thought, pasta is made of wheat, just like some cereals. And why shouldn't it be cereal? Thank you so much for your podcast. Enjoy debating.
Okay, so what's your hot take, Dan?
These questions really give me pause because I know there's no possible answer I can give to any of these that won't catch me some heat. It's just weird because everybody seems to want to believe that everything is cereal, but you can't just make a mockery of the concept. You have to establish boundaries somewhere.
Yes.
And
yes.
Every time I try to establish a boundary, it seems like people push back on that. So it's really, really hard to give a dedicated definition to what defines a cereal. If you're going by whether it contains a cereal grain, sure, raw pasta counts as a cereal. But what I believe is the differentiator here with this question we're asking is that we're not asking, is it a cereal, but is it cereal, which really gives it a little bit more of that nebulous definition of cereal as a concept, as a prepared breakfast that you sit down to enjoy. And because I don't believe that anyone could honestly say that they would enjoy a prepared breakfast of raw pasta and milk, I'm going to say this one is not a cereal.
All right. Next up.
Hi, Dan and Justin. This is Sarah from Manitoba, Canada. Just to have a question for, is it cereal? My question really focuses on the milk aspect. When I was little, my brother and I, due for allergy reasons, weren't allowed to drink milk. And so we would have our cereal with apple juice. Let me tell you, Frosted Flakes and apple juice don't really mix. So a question for Dan is that technically still cereal? Love the podcast. I've been listening to it since episode 1. And just want to thank you guys for making it.
Oh, no, this is... and I think... Oh, I don't know, Dan. This is tough for me, bud.
Okay, well, first of all, I think it helps that they're actually using real cereal pieces already in this mix.
Yes.
And going back to what I just mentioned in the past one, even though Frosted Flakes and apple juice is not personally enjoyable, I would still argue that sitting down with the premise that I can't have milk, so I'm going to use apple juice instead, still sort of presupposes that you sat down with the intention to eat cereal. And if the availability of your resources does not allow you to use milk, I think, you know, much like using having dietary exceptions for religious reasons or otherwise, I think the sort of milk boundary of what defines a cereal can be pushed in that case. As long as your intent and your purpose is clear in terms of you're eating cereal, I think that trying to use this very prescriptivist boundary of having to contain milk can be pushed there. I like to have that boundary still discussed, though, because that saves us from, you know, the true anarchy of soup and any other broth-based thing being declared a cereal. So I think it's all about how you see it.
I guess you would sit down to eat it for breakfast. I mean, they ate it for breakfast. I mean, it's hard to... I can't get in the way. I mean, my gut says that milk's an essential part of the cereal experience, because in our last question, someone was trying to convert pasta into cereal by adding milk, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it can't just be about milk. It's not. So I think that, I guess it's cereal.
Right. Yeah, it's a really tough one.
But it's up to us. It's our show.
It's true. We are holy authorities here.
Last one.
Hi, Dan and Justin. This is Ben from Minneapolis. As soon as I heard the prompt for the new segment, I immediately thought of something that I did in my early 20s. I was working at a movie theater at the time, and I would routinely take home lots of candy. And I had taken home, I believe, about 10 boxes of Bunch of Crunch on one occasion and started putting them in bowls with milk because, to my mind at the time, they were essentially just a delicious cereal that would never get soggy. So, Dan, do you agree with the judgment of 20-year-old me, or is this officially not a cereal?
Ooh, this is a good one.
Well, I'm going to definitely call this one a cereal. I think in the last episode, I made the foolish slip of the mind to say that I didn't think that things that don't float could be cereal. And in both my personal and online life, I got creamed for that opinion. So I'm not really going to use that as a sort of marker for whether anything's a cereal anymore. But I think sort of the avenue of having just bite-sized bits of candy in a bowl with milk, there's definitely a fuzzy line there, but because you chose Bunch of Crunch, which contains crisped rice already,
that's this
definitely
is our out.
A cereal. Yeah, that's what justifies it as a wise choice for breakfast any day of the year.
Yeah, we can stave off like a bowl full of runts for right now because the inclusion of cereal in the recipe itself. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We hope you've enjoyed yourself.
If you want to
thank you for no, please.
If you want to ask more of those is it cereal questions, you should, because at first I was hesitant about this entire segment, but the more I think about it and the more I realize how much depth there is to this equation, I think it's really changing my philosophical perspective on cereal.
Here's the corollary. Here's the boundary I think we should put on this, Dan, that it has to be something that you yourself have considered.
Yes, and
because
not necessarily
that
enjoy,
we can help with. Yeah, you don't have to like it, but you do have to consume it.
Please don't hurt yourself in the names of asking a question, saying that you have to eat this before you can ask the question.
Yeah, don't. Come on. Use your best judgment. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We hope you've enjoyed yourself. Thank you for your support throughout the year. If you'd like to add your voice to the chorus of people supporting this show, you can do so in a myriad ways. One is reviewing it on iTunes. Another huge one is telling your friends. That would be great in the new year if you say, hey, you want to relax a little bit? Here's a show for you. bowl.rest is all you got to do to share our show. Bowl.rest is also where you can go to send us a message about what you think is whether or not something is cereal. And it's also where you can go to pledge some money to our show if you want. You can pledge $1 up to $10 a month, I think. And half of that goes to keep cerealously.net going. And half of that goes to a local shelter in our area for people experiencing homelessness called Harmony House. So thank you so much for your support, those that are supporting us. And we hope that you're able to join us again in 2021. Dan, of course we have some other people we'd like to show our appreciation to.
Of course. We'd like to thank M. Loper for doing our show editing, Chris Zabriskie for his opening theme of The Sun is scheduled to come out tomorrow, as well as Bria Davis for doing our wonderful podcast branding.
Absolutely. Thanks to you. Take care of yourself. Be good to yourself. Try to breathe. Relax. And we'll begin with you again soon. But until then, my name is Justin McElroy. For Dan Cabera, this has been The Empty Bowl. Don't forget to drink the milk.
Don't forget to drink the milk and have a happy new year.
You've embarrassed yourself, Dan. I've already moved on. I'm recording another podcast. I finished the outro long ago.
Oh, man.